We're holding on your Gimel Amud Beis, 10 lines from the end of the narrow lines. So we learned yesterday, the Gemara had digressed from the topic about, the main topic was about the levels of precedence among Jewish people. In particular, we mentioned Geirim versus Avodim Meshachrorim. That led the Gemara into a few into questions and answers about a few other things that we see in sociology and in the world around us. And then that led the Gemara into a discussion of a number of things that cause a person to be forgetful. and then on the other hand, things that restore a person's memory. So now the Gemara continues, Asara Dvarim Koshim L'Limud. There are 10 things that a person does them, it makes it difficult for him to learn. So here the other ones that we talked about were things that cause a person to be forgetful. He learned previously, and now he's going to forget what he learned. And by the way, I was thinking, you know, two of the things we had over there are eating from something that a mouse ate from and eating something that a cat ate from. It might be explainable by the, you know, the various diseases that mice carry and that sometimes cats carry too. Maybe some of those have an effect on the brain, etc. Anyway, so now, on the other hand, we're going to say these following 10 things make it difficult for a person to learn in the first place. So the first one, however, tachas afser hagamal. The first one is if a person walks underneath the reins of a camel. So you have a camel's held. You have reins on a camel that are a muzzle around its mouth, and then a lead that goes back from it to the rider or to the person who's leading it or whatever. So if a person walks underneath that. All the more so if he walks under the camel itself. Then that's so again, like we talked about yesterday, some of these things you might be able to explain. Some of these things you might be able to find an explanation for scientifically. Others of them, as the Meiri said, may be things that people considered in those times are bad for you, and therefore the Chachamim respect that, even if there's not really a logical basis behind it. And some of them, of course, may be Kabbalistic things or other things like that. The next one is va'over ben shnei gmalim, a person walks between two camels. Va'over ben shnei noshim, a man walks between two women. This is, you have people who are careful about that even nowadays. One thing is that it's brought that if a person is holding something in his hand, or I think it's more particular if he's holding somebody else's hand, then there's less of an issue with it. Anyway, va'ishay veres ben shnei noshim, a woman walks between two men. There are a variety of different things that also they say about that are collected in different places. Maybe it's not an issue. For example, sometimes you'll be walking down the street, let's say, and you'll have some people walking in, you'll have, let's say, two women walking in one direction and you're walking in the opposite direction. That may not be an issue. And a variety of other things like that. Another one is a person walks underneath the foul smell of a novella, of a dead animal. What do we mean by under? It means Rashi says, in other words, when there's a dead animal there that smells, and he walks in that area, the odor of it rises. So therefore he can be considered under that. So in short, in other words, he walks downwind of a novella. The next one is a person walks underneath a bridge where the stream under that bridge is dried up and no water has passed through it for 40 days. Person eats bread that has not been thoroughly baked. Or a person eats meat from the zuama listron, which is a zuama listron is a keli that's a combination. One side they would use it to stir meat in a pot or soup or whatever. One side of it. So Rashi explains that the word zuama literally means filth. So it means like a lot of time you use it to stir the pot and remove the scum and everything to the sides. And listron comes from an Aramaic word that means to the sides. So it's basically like a large soup spoon or ladle or something like that. If a person eats directly out of that. So elsewhere, Rashi explains that the Zuama Listeran actually has two ends. One end is more like one end is shaped like a spoon, and the other one is shaped like a fork. Anyway, so if a person eats meat off of that, a person drinks from a stream of water that runs through a cemetery, or a person stares at the face of a mess. Now, we don't mean just like he gives a casual glance. We mean that he stares at it. The Yesh Omrim, and some say, Afakodik Savshal Gabi Akever, also someone who reads the inscription on a gravestone. This is a very famous thing that's brought in Sfarim about that's Zafka if the letters on the gravestone stick out. If they're engraved in below the surface, then there's no issue with it. They also, it's brought that if a person does read such a gravestone, then there's a segula to, he was saying that it makes it difficult for him to learn as a result of that. So it's brought that there's a segula that he should say most of the bracha avasalam avtarim hashem alakenu that we say before kriyishma in the morning, up to but not including the final bracha. Okay, so that's the whole list. Okay. Getting back now to the matter of the order of precedence between people. Till now we were talking about the fact you have a Kohen outranks a Levi Yisrael, etc. On the previous Amud, we talked about that within the levels of leadership of the Jewish people, you have the Chacham and the King, and you have the Chacham and the King and the Kohen Gadol, and so on and so forth in that whole hierarchy. So now let's talk about In those days, they had the Nossi and the Av Beis Din. There was a hierarchy within the Beis Medrash as well. You had the Nossi. You have here in the whole Perek, we've been talking about the Nossi as in the king, but you also have in later times when the Jewish people didn't have kingship, then they had the Nossi who was within the Jewish people themselves, almost like a king. As we had a few days ago, Rebbe had asked Reb Chiya, I being the Nossi, would I be considered a Nossi as relative to this halacha of bringing a story if I did an Aveira, and the only reason Rav Chiya told him is not, is because there's the Reish Galusa in Bavel who has greater power and greater authority in everything than you do. So now let's talk about those levels in the Beis Medrash. Turn up on him. Kram Nossi Nichnas, when the Nossi comes into the Beis Medrash, Kola Om Omdim, everybody stands up in his honor. Even if Rashi explains there might be hundreds of rows of people in the Beis Medrash, but they all stand up for him. The Ein Yoshvim, and they don't sit again. Ad Sha'omer Lahem Shvu, until he tells them sit down. Tra'av Beis Din Nichnas, when the Av Beis Din, who's one level below the Nasi, when he comes into the Beis Medrash, so not everybody has to stand up. Shura achas mikan, they make one row on each side of him. So they did, in other words, just the rows of people who are right in front of him have to stand up. Actually, Yeshav bim kaimai, and they don't have to wait until he tells them to sit. As soon as he sits down, they can automatically sit down. Next, when the Chocham comes in, now Chocham can have a couple of different meanings. It can mean just a regular Talmud Chocham like anybody else who's in the Beis Medrash. Rashi elsewhere defines that the Chocham for this purpose means like the Shtot Rov, the person in town, the Nossi and the Av Beis Din are not necessarily Paskin and Halacha for their local city. They could, of course, they're perfectly capable of it, but usually for day-to-day Shilas, you go to the Rov, so that would be what the Gemara is calling here Chocham. And different Mephoshim talk about over here, Be'er Sheva, Ben Yoyada, whether maybe the Chacham over here means the Rosh Yeshiva. Anyway, so when he comes in, Echad Omer ve'Echad Yoshev, then people alternately get up and sit down, Adshi Yeshev b'mkoma, until he sits down. Meaning, in other words, that when it comes to the Chacham, unlike with the Av Beis Din, where everybody in the rows on either side of him has to get up, here it's just as he's coming within their Dalar Amos, they get up, and as soon as he leaves their Dalar Amos, so as soon as he passes them, then they can sit down. So it's like there's a wave almost of people getting up and sitting down as he walks through. Next, continues the Braisa, Bnei Chachamim, Tamir Chachamim, the children of the Chachamim, and the Talmidim of the Chachamim. Usually we use the word Talmid Chachamim to mean the people themselves who learn Torah, so here it means, in other words, the Talmidim of the Chachamim. So they themselves are not yet chachamim, but they are they're on their way. They're learning over there, and they're learning, and eventually they'll reach the level of chachamim themselves. So it can mean it can mean the children of the chachamim and the talmidim of the chachamim, or it can mean the children of the chachamim and the children and the children of the talmidim. Whatever the case, bizman shadabim tzrichim lahem, when the rabbim needs them. Meaning, in other words, that they have knowledge of Torah that people are regularly asking them, for example. Mafsiyin al Rosh Ha'am, they are allowed to step over people's heads. Now, usually you have, in other words, so you have, like, this people ought to sit down in their places before, in order of precedence, and that way nobody needs to step over each other. But now you have these Bnei Chachamim and Tamar Chachamim, because the rabbim need them, because they have knowledge of Torah that many other people in the Beis Medrash don't, even though they themselves are not yet, are nowhere near yet the level of the Rosh Hashiva or whatever. We grant them that indulgence that they don't have to come before everybody else. They're allowed to come later on and then step over other people to get to their places. And in various places, the Gemara mentions that there were Chachamim who made a special point of not doing that because of Kavod HaTzibur, even though they were allowed to, but we're saying over here technically they are allowed to do that. Yotzalot Tzorech. And then if one of them has to go out for a particular reason, if one of them has to go out for a need, for example, to go to the bathroom, then he can come back in and sit down in his places, even though, again, he's stepping over people's heads because he didn't have a choice. He had to go out to the bathroom. Next, Bnei Tamar Chachamim Shemamunim Aviyim Paunas Al Tzibur. What about the children of Tamar Chachamim whose father is a parnas of the community? A parnas is a leader of some kind. So the children themselves are not old enough to be something important in the Beis Medrash yet, but their father has a certain position of leadership over there. So then, bizman sheyeshlam das l'shmaya, when they have enough das to listen to the Torah that their father is teaching, when it's his turn in the Beis Medrash, nichnosim v'yoshvim lifnei aviyem, then they can come in to the Beis Medrash and sit in front of their father, v'achareyim klapei ha'om, and they're allowed to sit with their backs facing the people. It's not considered disrespectful, because like this, they're there in order to learn Torah face to face from their fathers, as we learned on Amud Aleph yesterday. When a person is learning Torah, he should be looking at the face of his Rebbe. So now they're old enough. These children are old enough to be able to learn and understand what their father is saying. So then they should be doing that. Or was Mansha Einlam Das L'Shmaya? If they don't have that Das, they're not old enough yet. For example, Nichnasim V'Yoshim Lifnei Aviyem. They can also come and sit in front of their father. But then they have to face the people. Then they would have to sit with their back towards their father, because they're not really learning from him anyway. So therefore, it would be a lack of covered for the tzibur for them to have their backs to the people. Different girsa, which Ben with Be'er Sheva says is more preferable, is that they can sit achore aveihim. They can sit behind their father, so they're not even seeing him face to face. But this way, at least they're sitting in the same direction as their father, with their face towards the tzibur rather than the other way around. And the Braisa continues, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok Omer, after Beis HaMishneh, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok says that also, not just in the Beis Medrash, when we talk about these children of people whose fathers are parnosim, or leaders of the tzibur, we also, with Beis HaMishneh, at a wedding hall, osim osim sniffin, we have the younger children like that, the ones who are not capable of learning, the ones who are not yet on that level, we make them sniffim, which literally means like side extensions of their father, meaning in other words, they sit next to their father because of the covered of their father. So even though they themselves are not really deserving of a place at the head table, basically, nevertheless, we grant them that covered in because of the covered of their father, and they sit next to their father at the head table. So let's analyze this braisa. We said omamar, so we said before yotzal tzorech, that if one of these people, we said You have the Bnei Chachamim and Talmidei Chachamim. If they have to leave Yotzal Tzorech, if he leaves in order to go to the bathroom, Nichnas V'Yoshev B'Mekoymei, then afterwards he goes back in, he can go back in and sit in his place, even though he's stepping over people. So Amar Papa, like Amar Elalaktanim. So the Papa says that would apply only if they went out to urinate. So then that's considered an oinus. The Gemara mentions in other places when a person has to go and urinate, he has to do it right away. But it's also a person might you can have it's not just that. I mean, the truth is that's true as far as both. That's true as far as defecating as well. But no, it's more that if he goes out to urinate, he couldn't really have helped it. After a while, a person needs to, whether he, even if he had to before, so even they had gone to the bathroom before they had gone into the Beis Medrash, nevertheless, it can happen during the Shiur, during the session in the Beis Medrash, that he has to go again. So then we'll allow him that indulgence of coming back in and stepping over people. Because after all, because we said, because the Rabbim need him, because he has a certain knowledge of Torah that they need, and they're asking him. Avalik Dolin, but the Papa says, if he went out to go to defecate, Loi, then no, we don't allow him that indulgence to go back in and step over people. Havalik the Mivdak Nafshimi Ikra, he should have checked himself beforehand, he should have, before the Shira started, made sure to check whether he has to go to the bathroom. That a person can go a considerable amount of the day between, or sometimes even sometimes even longer than that, between one time and another of Dolin, of defecating, and therefore he should have done that in the first place. So now in the middle, he felt the need to do that. We don't allow him to go back in when it involves stepping over people. Da'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, as in fact Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, La'olam yalamed atzme l'hashkim olahariv, a person should always train himself to get up early to go try to go to the bathroom and to go late at night. And in the evening, not late at night, but in the evening, to go to the bathroom, Kadesh Le Yisrachek, so he doesn't have to go too far away. Because if he had, in those times, in the bathrooms, you would have to, you'd have to find a semi-private area, a private area to go to the bathroom. So Rav Yehuda is recommending, make sure you do it early in the morning, before other people are up. And later in the evening, when everybody is already in bed, that way you don't have to that way you don't have to go so far away. You can find a quiet place much closer. So the same way, in other words, if a person were to get used to every morning he gets up, part of his morning routine is to see whether he needs to defecate. And the same thing in the evening. Then when it comes to in the middle of the day, when there's a session in the Beis Medrash, even though it lasts several hours, He won't need to go to the bathroom. So now, if he didn't do that, and then in the middle of the day he feels that urge, then we're saying that then Rav Papa is saying that we shouldn't allow him to come back in and step over people's heads, because that was careless of him to not do that in the first place. Nowadays, you have a different reason, Be'er Sheva points out, to do that, to have this bathroom schedule, because this way, in particular, before Shacharis, you want to make sure your body is clean, and you want to make sure that you've gotten rid of the waste before you daven. Omar Rava, but Rava says, Ha'idna, nowadays, the Chol Sha'alma, nowadays, people are weaker, I feel like Dolem Nami, then no, we don't say that anymore. People's bodies are, people are physically weaker, and sometimes it happens that even a person did go to the bathroom at the beginning of the day to defecate, nevertheless, he feels that same need in the middle of the day too. And therefore, so then we would allow him back in to sit down, even if and step over people's heads, even if he went out for that. Next, we said in the Braisa, another thing, let's analyze from the Braisa, Rav Elazar b'Rav Tzadik Omer Achabes HaMishta Oysim Sniffim, we said, you have people whose father was appointed a paroness over the tzibur. So a leader of the tzibur. So now we say, so the paroness, it might mean somebody who they consult for matters of halacha, something like a lower level of chacham. The paroness might be a community leader, like the head of the vada kol or something, whatever it is. So we said that, that they join their fathers in the Beis Medrash, and depending whether they're old enough or not, they can sit, we said they can sit with their faces away from the tzibur or towards the tzibur. And then Rav Elazar b'Rav Tzadik had said that even at a wedding or at a banquet, we would sit next to them, we would have them sit as snifim, sit next to their fathers. Amar Rava, so Rava points out, that's only b'chaye avim, b'fnei avim. It has to be when their father is alive and in their father's presence. So we don't just mean, in other words, that we give the children that honor of sitting in the important places at the head table or something. Any time, it means that's when their father is alive and their father is present there at that banquet, that's when we're going to allow them to do that. Okay. So now, having dealt with a couple of the details in this braisa, so the Gemara explains the background for this braisa. This Mishnah, which is to say braisa, was taught in the time of Reb Shimon Gamliel. So in other words, it was specifically in Reb Shimon Gamliel's times that they came up with these rules about what they should do as far as standing up for the Nasi versus the Avestin versus the Chacham. Mefoshim point out, by the way, that you have a Gemara in Kiddushin that says that everybody, you have to stand for a Nasi as soon as you see him and stay standing until he sits down. The Gemara brings in Kiddushin from a Pasuk in connection with Moshe Rabbeinu, and he doesn't say, like it says over here, that he has to first tell them to sit down. So one point of Ran actually makes a point over there that's the point. In other words, our Gemara, that's why the Gemara is saying over here that this was in the times of Rav Shimon Gamliel. They made a new takana or a new minhag that was developed in the time of Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara in Kiddushin would be telling us what happened in other generations. There are other explanations among Rishonim, including the Rosh says that the difference is here we're talking about that when the Nasi comes into the Beis Medrash and everybody is sitting over there, Reb Avdimi and the Gemara in Kiddushin over there is talking about when a Nasi is just walking down the street. And then you have a few other explanations as well. Anyway, so what happened? In Reb Shimon Gamliel's times, these offices were filled by the following: Reb Shimon Gamliel Nasi, Reb Meir Chacham, Reb Nosson Av Beis Din. In Reb Shimon Gamliel's times, those offices were as follows: Reb Shimon Gamliel was the Nasi, Reb Meir was the Chacham, as we said, like the Chacham. We said one meaning is that it means the Rav of the city that everybody would go to with day to day shaylas. It could also mean, we said, maybe it means the Rosh Yeshiva, whatever. And Reb Nosson Av Beis Din. Reb Nosson was the Av Beis Din. So, Ki Havar Reb Shimon Gamliel Hossam, when Reb Shimon Gamliel would be there in the Beis Medrash, everybody would stand up in his honor. And when Reb Meir would come in, and when Reb Nosson would come in, also everybody would stand up in their honor. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, this doesn't seem right, that they're doing the exact same thing for the Nasi, the Chacham, and the Av Beis Din. Shouldn't there be some kind of distinction between me and them? Now, he's not looking for his own covered. He wants that there should be greater covered given to the Nasi. And there needs to be a distinction also between the Av Beis Din and the Chacham. So he's figuring to himself there needs to be some kind of distinction. There's a sefer on Jewish history, Doros HaRishonim. He explains that in that time you had Reb Shimon Gamliel lived was the Nasi several decades after the Churban. You have a period of time over there where the Nasi actually was not able to sit together with the other Chachamim. So people after a while got used to on a day to day basis that the Nasi is not around. So now when he's finally able, when things have calmed down enough that he's able to be with together with them, then he realizes, you know, people have forgotten the fact that the Nasi is supposed to be accorded special honor, and we need to do something about it. So Takin Hamas Nisa, so he set up the Braisa that we said before, that the Nasi is shown greater honor than the Abbasin, that the Nasi, everybody stands up, and the Abbasin, only the row on each side of him stands up, and so on and so forth. So this way, now there will be a clear distinction in people's minds between the Nasi and the Abbasin and the Chacham. Well, the Gemara continues the story. What happened as a result of that? That day when Reb Shimon Gamliel made that takana, Reb Meir and Reb Nosson were not present in the Beis Medrash. L'machor ki osu, the next day when they came to the Beis Medrash, chazur le'kamu mekamayu kedira gilam milsa. They saw people are not standing up for them as they usually do. People, instead of everybody standing up for them, now you have only the people on either side are standing up, or only getting up and sitting down alternately, etc. Amri, so they said, they started asking around Mai Hai, what's going on, why are we acting differently than usual? Amru Lahu, so people told them, Hoki Takan, Reb Shimon Gamliel, this is Reb Shimon Gamliel's new Takana. Amru Lahu, Reb Meir Lahum, so Reb Meir and Reb Nosson did not like that. Now we have to remember that we had, in the generation before that, Reb Shimon Gamliel's father, Reb Gamliel, was the one with the famous story where he had publicly called out Rabbi Yeshua several times and made him stand up, most famously by the case of Tfilas Arvis Rishus in Brachas, where Rabbi Yeshua disagreed with Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel told him to stand and stay standing, and he didn't give him permission to sit down. And everybody was upset about that and deposed Rabbi Gamliel and so on and so forth. So now Reb Meir and Reb Nosson have reason to be concerned that we're starting this kind of thing again. Reb Shimon Gamliel is starting to act overbearing again and make it like the Nazi's honor is more important than anything else. We can look at it and realize that it was L'shem Shemayim for the sake of the honor of the Nazi, but Reb Meir and Reb Nosson either didn't see it that way at all, or they said even if it is L'shem Shemayim, it still has to be done in a way that everybody should realize it's not also for his personal covering. So they decided in that case we kind of have to put him in his place. So Amalei Reb Meir Reb Nosson. So Reb Meir says Reb Nosson, Anoch Chacham Va'at Av Beis Din. Listen, you know, we have authority over here ourselves. I'm the Chacham, I'm the Shtotzer of. You're the Av Beis Din. Nesak and Milsa Kilididan. Let's go and make a takana for Reb Shimon Gamliel like he did to us. In other words, we're going to do something. He did something that puts down our cupboard. We're going to do something to him. So we're not talking about they're obviously these are great chachamim. We're not talking about they're going to do crude nekama, but they're saying, in other words, you know, he seems to be trying to increase his honor at everybody else's expense, including that of the Nasi and the Abbasin. So we're going to show him that no, in fact, the Nasi and the Abbasin deserve greater honor than he thinks. That's one girsa. Rashi brings another girsa, not kilididan, but kilisnan. That they're saying, let's make a takana that will be remembered for future generations, kilisnan, even when we're long gone, that it'll be remembered that the Nasi has to realize that he has a certain position greater than everybody else, but not so much so that he, compared to the Abbasin and the Chacham, that he should be making such takanas to make his covered considerably greater than ours. Then it actually brings a third girsa, Naskin Milsaki listening. Let's fix up the matter by telling him to teach us. Meaning, so anyway, what are they going to do? My Navidle, what are they going to do? What are we going to do to him? Name Alay, we're going to tell Reb Shimon Gamliel, Gali Uktim. Darshan for us, explain to us Masechta Uktim. Masechta Uktim is the last Masechta of Shas and Mishnayas. It deals with the most of it deals with the matter of uktim, means stems or peels and other things of that, and other things like that of fruit. Of fruits and vegetables and things like that, when they're makabel tumah and when they're not. It's like a very obscure area of halacha. So it's not, they figured it's something Reb Shimon Gamliel is going to be less familiar with. So the Kivin de Legomar, de Lesle, now we know he doesn't know that so well. The Kivin de Legomar, since he hasn't learned it well, he's not going to be able to teach it. Name Alay, and then we're going to tell him, you know, as the Pasuk says, Mi Yamalo Gvuras Hashem, Yashmiya Kolti Lase. The Pasuk says, who can speak, who can express the strengths of Hashem, to make heard all of his praise. So the simple Pasuk means, in other words, that the Mi goes on both halves of it. Who can declare the praise of Hashem, who can make heard all of who can declare the strength of Hashem, who can make heard all of his praise. But we also doubt in it that it's kind of a question and answer. Lamin nor lamalog vurus Hashem, to whom is it appropriate to, is it fitting to be speaking the strength of Hashem, which is to be the Nasi who's going to be publicly giving drashas in the Torah of Hashem, is only Mishi Yochel Hashmiya Kol Tehiloisav, only somebody who is capable of making heard all of Hashem's praise and all of the Torah, including Uktin, is Hashem's Torah and Hashem's praise. So in other words, we're going to tell him, in short, that if there's some area of Torah that you don't know, then you don't deserve to be Nasi. Now, Reb Shimon Gamliel knows that pasuk as well. He learns, and in fact, at the end of Makkos, we learned that. Mi oheb, Marsha refers to that Gemara. Mi oheb Bahoma, and who is it that that loves the multitude of Torah. Who is it that's fitting to teach in a multitude? Like the Nasi is only someone who has all the Teruah of Torah, and the Gemara brought this Pasuk over there as well. On the other hand, the Gemara also mentions elsewhere in Megillah that from this Pasuk we learn that you're not supposed to add too many praises of Hashem. Like in Shemoneh Esrei, we say, okay, like God, like Gibbana, because Moshe Rabbeinu said it, but we don't add to that. So Marsha explains in some detail over here, Reb Shimon Gamliel would Taka understand the Pasuk that way. He doesn't have to understand it the way that Reb Meir and Reb Nosson are understanding it, so he wouldn't be bothered by until now. You have to ask, why until now did he not bother learning Uchtzin when he's the Nasi? Wasn't he aware of this? The answer is because he doubtions that Pasuk differently and didn't hold that the Nasi has to be familiar with every area of Halacha. But now, says Reb Meir to Reb Nosson, we're going to call him out on that. We're going to show publicly, or not publicly, maybe at least semi-publicly, whatever, that he doesn't know it, or it doesn't even have to be semi-publicly at all, just in private, between the three of us, but we're going to tell him, you know what, listen, you know, we understand that pasuk to be saying that, in order to be a Nasi, you have to be familiar with every area of Torah. To whom is it suited to express publicly the strength of Hashem, to Darshan Barabim, only someone who can express all the praise of Hashem, which is to say, not you. So therefore, so the result of that, Na'abre, so says Reb Meir to Reb Nosson. So in that way, we'll be able to depose him, because he'll realize, you know, we'll prove to him that our point is correct, and therefore he doesn't deserve to be Nasi if he doesn't know an area of Torah such as that. So we'll depose him. And then we'll each move up a level. You, Reb Nosson, who were Avbeisin, you will become the Nasi. I, who was the Chacham, will become the Avbeisin. This way, again, in other words, the idea is, it's not a matter of this way we'll have covered. The point is, in other words, that this way, Reb Shimon Gamliel will realize that he can't do that. He can't increase his covered at the expense of the other Chachamim. If he had made, for example, that there's a greater degree of covered that you should show him as Nasi, and the Av Beis Din and Chacham would be respected as much as they are until now, would be one thing. They wouldn't have anything against him. But like this, where he's trying to make it that he's going to have, they're going to do the same covered for him as they did until now for everybody. And Reb Meir and Reb Nosson, the Chacham and the Av Beis Din, they're going to give lesser covered. So Reb Meir and Reb Nosson are saying, that's not right. That's bizoyan of Talmid Chacham, and we can't allow him to act that way. And again, the idea being, in other words, they're probably keeping in mind as well what had been with Reb Gamliel in the previous generation, that this is problematic if we're going to have this kind of thing again, if we're going to have this kind of thing all over again. It could also be that Ben Yehoyada points out doesn't mean they're going to forever keep Reb Shimon Gamliel out of the Nasiyos. It just means temporarily they're going to depose him as a result of this, and this way he'll learn his lesson. Well, the story continues. Shaminu Reb Yaakov ben Karshi. Reb Yaakov ben Karshi overheard them talking about this. Oh no, he says to himself, Dilma Chas V'Shalom, Askim Milsu V'Deki Sofa, Chas V'Shalom, and it's going to become embarrassment. Reb Shimon Gamliel is going to be embarrassed, whether we're talking about in front of everybody, in front of some people, maybe only in front of Reb Meir and Reb Nosson. Still, we don't want that. So now, what's he going to do? He doesn't want to go and snitch on them. So instead, he found an indirect way to tell Reb Shimon Gamliel what's going on. Also, Yosef Achode Elisei did Reb Shimon Gamliel. He went and sat behind the upper floor of Reb Shimon Gamliel's house, where Reb Shimon Gamliel would have his offices. Poshat Goras V'Tana, Goras V'Tana. He started explaining to himself, Baal Peh, Masechta Uktin, and reviewing it and explaining it to himself and reviewing and explaining it himself. And this way, hinting to Reb Shimon Gamliel that he ought to be familiar with that. Omar, said Reb Shimon Gamliel, hears Reb Yaakov sitting over there and reviewing it to himself. He thinks to himself, my dekama, what's going on? Or what's this in front of me? Like, why is Hashem making it that he's after being in front of over here? Duma Chas V'Shalom, Ikabe Medrash Amidi. Maybe there's something, Chas V'Shalom, some plot brewing against me in the Beis Medrash, and this is meant as a sign for me, Minashamayim, that I better become familiar with this Masechta. Yohav Daiti, so he put his mind to it, the Gosa, and he learned it thoroughly. Lamacha Omrule, the next day when Reb Meir and Reb Nosson approached him with their idea of learning, of teaching Masechta Uktzin, they said, Nesi Mar V'Nisni B'Uktzin, Posach V'Omar, sure enough, he was able to, he started and explained it and then taught it thoroughly. Bosa de Oikim, after he finished, Amalahu, he turns to the mayor and Rasa and says, Eloi Gamuna, you know what, if I hadn't learned it, Kasifitinan, you would have humiliated me by that I wouldn't have known, but I wouldn't have known it. You can't do that either. Look at that. You're trying to uphold the honor of Chachamim, but you're doing it in a way that would have embarrassed me in public. So Rav Shimon Gamliel gave orders that they be removed from the Beis Medrash. Now what would happen is, after that, so the mayor and Nosson are sitting together outside the Beis Medrash, learning alone, but they would, all the time, they would be writing notes with questions on what they're learning and throwing them into the Beis Medrash, to see whether the Chachamim can answer them. To have a Mifrit Parik, to have a Mifrit, whichever ones they could answer, Mifrit, then they would answer them. Delay have a Mifrit, whichever ones they couldn't, they could overhear what's going on in the Beis Medrash. They could hear that some of their questions, the Chachmei Yeshiva, were not able to answer. Kassel, Piruki, Vishadu, so now Reb Meir and Reb Nosson would write the answers down and then send them into the Beis Medrash as well. In other words, to show the Chachamim that you look how much you rely on us, that there's many questions in Halakha, there's many questions in Torah that you don't have the answers to without us. It worked. Amalahu Rav Yosi, said Rav Yosi, who was there in the Beis Medrash, says to the other Chachamim, Torah melachutz v'anum v'fnim, the Torah is outside and we're inside. It's not right. Amalahen Rav Shimon Gamliel, so Rav Shimon Gamliel says, fine, now we knew. So in other words, Rav Yosi is saying, listen, either we got to all join them outside the Beis Medrash, or we have to allow them back in. Amalahen Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, fine, ne'ailinu, we can bring them back in. Mihu, however, niknesinhu, we're going to penalize them from now on. Delaneimu shmaita mishmaihu. From now on, we won't say teachings of Torah in their name. So from now on, they have nicknames for them. Asiku l'Rav Meir Acherim. They started calling Rav Meir Acherim. So that's why we have all over Shas. We have Acherim Omrim, generally means Rav Meir. That comes from this story. It's brought elsewhere. Tosfos brings the possibility that maybe specifically Acherim is for things that Rav Meir had learned from Acher. Anyway, so they called Rav Meir Acherim, or Rav Nosson Yesh Omrim. Rav Nosson, they use the nickname Yesh Omrim, which you have occasionally in Shas, Yesh Omrim. So that would be Rav Nosson. There's a cute vort on it, by the way, that says that back when Yaakov was about to confront Esav, Yaakov was very worried and very disturbed about what's going to happen. And Rashi says that he was concerned that Esav might kill him, but also Shema Yahreg Hu Asacherim, that he might kill others. So why doesn't it say straight out that he might kill Esav? So there's a cute verse on it that says since Rav Meir was descended from Nero and Kesir, from Nero, who we learn in Gittin, ran off and became a ger rather than destroying the Beis Mikdash, and Rav Meir was his descendant. So now Yaakov Avinu saw his Ruach HaKodesh that Rav Meir is going to descend from Esav through that Roman emperor, and therefore he's concerned. If he kills Esav, he's going to end up killing Acherim, the future Rav Meir. Anyway, those were the new names for them. Then Rav Meir and Rav Nosson were shown in a dream, Zilu Paisuhu L'Rav Shimon Gamliel, go appease Rav Shimon Gamliel, go ask Mechila for him for what you tried to do to him. Rav Nosson Ozal. So Rav Nosson went to go ask Mechila. Rav Meir loy Ozal. Rav Meir did not. Omar, he says to himself, as the Gemara says in other places, Divrei Chalomus le Milan v'le Meridin. Things that are seen in a dream are neither here nor there. First of all, by the way, Marsha points out the reason why they use plurals, why Acherim in plural, and Yesh Omrim in plural. Why not Acher and Yesh? So if you say Acher, or you say Omer, then people in the Beis Medrash are still going to ask, okay, but who is this Acher? Who is this Yesh Omer? And the answer is going to be Rav Meir and Rav Nosson, and that's going to defeat the whole purpose. Rav Shimon Gamliel wants, basically, that they shouldn't be saying Torah over in their name. It should just be like some anonymous Talmud Chacham Seder who we don't know who. Someone, Acherim, somebody out there, we don't know who. Anyway. So now Rav Nosson is going to go ask Mechila, and Rav Meir not. Because he said, Dibir Chalomis Vemalim Vemalim Vemalim, just because I had a dream doesn't mean anything. Ki Ozer Rav Nosson, when Rav Nosson went to ask Rav Shimon Gamliel Mechila, Omalei Rav Shimon Gamliel, they said, Rav Shimon Gamliel tells him, you know, you shouldn't have done this in the first place. Nihi Dahani Loch Kamra Da'avuch L'mevi Abbasin. It is true that your father's fancy belt enabled you to become Abbasin, because it's explained that Rav Nosson came from Bavel. His father was the Reish Galusa over there. So because your father was such a distinguished person is how that helped when we were trying to decide who the Abbasin was, then you yourself are a great Talmud Chacham, but it was also by virtue of your father's chosin. The Reish Galusa would have a fancy gold, would have a fancy golden belt that he would wear as part of his robes of office. So that helped you become Abbasin. Shavinach Nami Nasi. Did you think it was going to help you come from not? Did you think it was going to help you become Nasi as well? So in other words, he's telling him you were plotting with your mayor to become Nasi. After this, you should have realized that's not right to do. Okay. So now, in the next generation, what happened was, Masni le Rebbe, le Reb Shimon Brei, Rebbe, the son of Reb Shimon Gamliel, in a later generation, was teaching his son, Reb Shimon, the following Mishnah in Bechoras. Now you have like this, the Mishnah describes over there, you have a situation where a person is counting his animals for Maisa Behema, so you're supposed to have, you have a pen with the animals inside it, you start counting, the animals go out one by one, you count one, two, three, etc., up to ten, the tenth one you hit with a stick that has red paint on it, and then that one is Maisa Behema, and all the ones, and afterwards you gather up all the ones that have red paint on them, and those are the Maisa Behema, and you bring them to your Shalayim and bring them as a korban. So now, the Mishnah describes over there, you have a case where the ninth animal went out and of the pen, and the person mistakenly counted it as the tenth. And you have the case where the person, then the tenth one went out, and the person mistakenly counted it as nine, as ninth. And then the eleventh one went out, and he mistakenly counted it as tenth. What can happen is, in other words, like you have, the ninth one went out, he lost count, he accidentally counted it as ten, then he realizes his mistake, wait, I skipped the number nine, so now he uses the number nine for the tenth one, then when the eleventh one comes out, he forgets that he had put nine now only because he had skipped it before. He thought, well, I have to continue, after nine is ten, so he calls that one ten again. So the result is, all three of them have a degree of Kedusha, and the Mishnah describes over there what you do with each one of them. The actual tenth one is the actual Maisa Behema. The other ones are brought, one of them has to be brought as a korban, one of them has to, so the ninth one, you have to wait till it develops a mum, and then you can shecht it and eat it. The actual tenth one is Maisa. The eleventh one, you bring a shlomim. Now, so then the Mishnah continues that, now, that eleventh one, suppose that now a person were to make a tmura. The Masechta Tmura talks about the case, as the Pasuk talks about in Parshas Bechukosai, where a person says, this animal should be instead of that one. I have animal A for a korban, and instead I want to substitute animal B for it. So the Torah tells us, well, here, who smurah se yekodesh, both animals get a degree of kedusha and have to be brought as a korban or left to develop a mum, etc. It depends on the type of korban. So now, this 11th one, in the Mishnah, the mayor says that it's possible for it to produce a tmura as well. If a person were to take this 11th animal that mistakenly was designated 10th, and make a tmura with it, that other animal would now have a degree of kedusha as well. So Rabbi Yehuda says, wait a minute, this animal itself is effectively a tmura. It's basically, how does it become Kaddish in the first place? It's basically because it's almost as though it was substituted for the tenth animal. And the rule is, a tmura does not produce another tmura. If you have animal A, and you say, I want animal B instead to be Kaddish, and both of them have Kedusha, but now if you were to say B should be exchanged for C, then C doesn't get any Kedusha. So now, so Rabbi Yehuda says, that the 11th one over here is basically, it is a tmura in all but name. So how could it make another tmura? So now the Mishnah continues over there, Acherim Oimrim, that Acherim, which we just said, means Reb Meir says, Ilu haya tmura, lo haya korev. If it was a tmura, it wouldn't be brought as a korban in the first place, because then we would treat it like the ninth one, we would have to leave it until it develops a mum, and then we would shecht it and eat it. So therefore, so the mayor says it's not truly a tmura. The very fact that you're makriv, that 11th animal as a shlomim, shows that it itself is not a tmura. Because he says, in other words, because the rule is, if a person makes a tmura with the meiser itself, what if a person takes the actual 10th animal and makes a tmura with it, what would happen is, what would happen is you can't bring that other animal as meiser, because the meiser was only the one that was designated 10th, instead you'd have to wait till it develops a mum, and then sell it, and then use the money for another korban. So here, the mayor is saying, the fact that you're offering this 11th one itself as a shlomim shows that it's not truly a tmura, therefore it can produce another tmura. So this is Rebbe was teaching this Mishnah to his son. Omalai, so his son asks him, you're saying Acherim, Mihem Haloloshim, Mehem Anushosim, or Shmosim Enem Askirim. Who are these people? Who's this Acherim that were drinking from their water, who are learning their Torah, but we don't want to mention their name? It's not right. If we're going to be learning their Torah, we ought to say their name. Omalei. So Rebbe answers, Bnei Adam should be Kshulaka Kvoidcha or Kvoid Besavicha. This is people who tried to uproot your honor and the honor of your father's house. This is, in other words, as the story that we just had. Reb Meir tried to depose Reb Shimon Gamliel as Nasi, and if that had been the case, then even now, not necessarily, would our family still be the Nasiim, or at least it would have damaged their honor or something. So therefore, you're asking, why are we not saying it in his name? That's why, because he tried to, he tried to fight against the Nasius. In particular, Marsha says, Rebbe is saying, of all people, you should be asking about that. You can be moichel on your own personal honor, but you can't be moichel on the honor of the family. Omalei, so Rav Shimon answers him with a pasuk, Gam avosam, gam sinosam, gam kinosam kvar avoda. Also their love, also their hatred, also their jealousy is long gone. And Rav Meir has long since passed away. It's all ancient history. Why do we need to continue punishing Rav Meir and not mentioning his name long after he's passed away? So yes, we should be moichel even on the covet of the family. Omalei, so Rebbe answers him with another pasuk. For oyev kamu, the enemy is gone, chorova is slanetzach, but the swords or the runes are forever. So even though they're gone, nevertheless, it's not right to mention them. Omalei, so Rebbe Shimon answers, hani mili hech da'anu ma'asayu. I would agree with you if what they did was effective. If in fact their plot had been successful, and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, my grandfather, had been deposed, then you're right, then we should hold that against them even long after. Rabbanan la'anu ma'asayu. The fact is, these chachamim, Reb Meir and Reb Nosson, what they tried to do wasn't effective. So it's not right that long after they passed away, we should still be penalizing them like that. Fine. So Rebbe said, fine, you're right. Hodor Astilei. So he taught the Mishnah to his son in a different way. Omru Mishum Reb Meir. And this is how we have it in Mishnayos at the end of Bechoros. Omru Mishum Reb Meir. They said in the name of Reb Meir, Ilu Hoya Tmura Lahaya Karev, that this 11th animal, if it was truly a Tmura, it wouldn't be offered in the first place, because you don't offer the Tmura of a Meiser, and therefore it shows it's not really a Tmura, and therefore it's possible for it to produce another Tmura. So fine. So now we're mentioning Reb Meir. But Omar Rava, Afilu Rebbe, the Invasanahu, we see from this, even Rebbe, who was a great honor, we have at the end of Sota, that Mishnes Rebbe, Botla Anova, V'yiraschet, that when Rebbe passed away, True Anova disappeared from the world. Nevertheless, Tona, Omru Mishum Reb Meir, even he wasn't going to straight out say Reb Meir says. He would teach. They said in the name of Reb Meir, even he, Omer Reb Meir, like Omar, even he couldn't bring himself to say straight out Omer Reb Meir. He still has to say it like in an indirect way like that. Marsha mentions an interesting point in this connection about why Rebbe and Reb Shimon are dafka arguing with these psukim back and forth. One point is, we said before, Reb Meir was descended from Niren Kaser, who became a ger. Listen, he wouldn't have been able to become Nasi in the first place. The Nasi has to be descended from the family of David, but he's using the pasuk Oyev Tamu Chorover Sanetzach. Listen, Reb Meir is descended from Nero, who originally was going to destroy the Beis Mikdash. And Reb Shimon says, yeah, but the fact is, even not just Reb Meir himself, his plot was unsuccessful. Nero also, Nero and Kaser, he didn't end up destroying the Beis Mikdash. He ran away and became a ger. How can you hold that against Reb Meir? So that also factors into it. Okay. So now, that's the end of that story. So let's talk about now another point as far as precedence between Chachamim. Now you have, there's two different types of Talmid Chacham. You have a Sinai, somebody who knows a lot of material in Torah, and you have an Oikar Horim, somebody who can uproot mountains, somebody who's capable of deep analysis of Torah. So, Amar Rabbi Yechonon, Pligi Bar Reb Shimon Gamliel V'Rabbanan. Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim argued among themselves, the same Reb Shimon Gamliel, from our story, which one is more important? Which one is more vital? Chad Amar Sinai Odif, one of them says, and this may also be an outgrowth of the story, that afterwards we have to figure out which of the, let's try to figure out which type of Chacham is is greater. Chad Omas Sinai, or if one says the Sinai, the one who knows the Torah as thoroughly as it was given by Har Sinai, he knows lots of facts in Torah, lots of Mishnayos and Braises and things like that, that he's the greater one. V'chad Omer, the other opinion between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chacham, holds Oiker Horim Adif, the one who's able to uproot mountains, is the greater one, meaning the one who has the greater ability of pilpul to be able to analyze and derive new halachas and things. So even if he doesn't know the Mishnayos and Braises so thoroughly. So the Gemara says, in a later generation, Rabbi Yosef Sinai, Rabbi Yosef was an example of the Sinai kind of person. He was an expert, he was a tremendous expert in all the Mishnayos and Braises. On the other, Rabba, Oikar Horim, Rabba, on the other hand, his contemporary, his chaver, was an Oikar Horim. So one time they needed a new Rosh Hashiva. Shochu l'taman, they sent a message to the Chacham about Yisrael, Eze mehem koidem, which one of them takes precedence, which one of them is the better, which one of them would make the better Rosh Hashiva. Shochu l'hu, so they sent them back a message, Sinai Odif, the Sinai is greater, Ga'omamara kol tzrichem l'morei chitaya. We learn in a Braise that everybody needs the master of wheat. The master of wheat represents the person who has knowledge, deep knowledge of Mishnayos and Braises, so that's like the wheat of Torah, and everybody needs that. As opposed to the pilpul is something less. It's very nice to have pilpul, but the more important thing is to have the actual facts straight. Elsewhere, Rabbi Yosef says on himself, "V'rov tfuas v'koyach shur." You have a lot of produce with the power of the ox. Meaning, in other words, if he harnesses himself to Torah and memorizes tremendous amounts of Mishnayos and Braises, and with that you get a great crop of wheat of Torah. So therefore, so in short, they're saying that Rabbi Yosef should be the next Rosh Hashiva. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yosef did not want to accept the position. Now, in Brachos, the Gemara explains that actually there was a motive there as well. The Gemara says at the end of Brachos, also tells us that a stargazer had told him that he's going to be Rosh Hashiva for only 2.5 years, and then he's going to pass away. So like this, by not becoming Rosh Hashiva, he extended his life. Now, here the Gemara is saying, now here we're going to say from the Gemara, from one explanation, that he didn't accept the position because of his anivus. So how does that fit with that? If he's doing it in order to extend his life? So an interesting idea. Be'er Sheva says Be'er Sheva says, so this is an example that he allowed, the Gemara says over there in Brachas, that if he allows the time to pass and doesn't try to force the issue, then Hashem will still make it happen. Hashem still made that that the stargazer's prediction doesn't come true, but in the end it did, and Yitzhak was Rosh Hashiva for 2.5 years, as the Gemara is going to say over here. The Chayk Nosan actually says that it was actually both. Rabbi Yosef was an honor. The true reason he didn't want to accept the position is out of humility, but he pretended to people that the reason was because of the stargazer. Anyway, so what happened was, so Rabbi Yosef didn't accept the Rosh Hashiva ship. Moloch Rabbi Estin V'tauti Shinin, so Rabbi ended up being Rosh Hashiva for 22 years. V'hoda Moloch Rabbi Yosef, and only then Rabbi Yosef became Rosh Hashiva. V'chol Shni, the Moloch Rabbah, all those years that Rabbi was the Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yosef, afilo umnil abeis alei cholif, even a bloodletter would not come by Rabbi Yosef's house. Now, why not? Rashi says, first of all, because he wanted to show that he has no position of leadership at all. So even though to call a bloodletter to your house is the most minor thing of leadership, but he wouldn't even do that. Instead, he would go to the other person's house. Another explanation. So actually what it is Rashi says he wouldn't bring the bloodletter to his house. He would go to Rabbah's house, and Rabbi Yosef would go there to show how subservient he is to Rabbah. Another point is that Rashi says that he didn't have the time. He's so busy constantly learning Torah all the time in front of Rabbah that he didn't even take the time to let blood. Another explanation is that he was so healthy, Hashem helped him be so healthy, that he didn't even need to have any blood let during all those years. Okay. So the Gemara finishes off with another story in this connection about Sinai and Oikar Harim. Abaye v'Rabba v'Rabzeir v'Rabmas nehavu Yassi. In the next generation, these four Chachamim are sitting together. V'havu Tzrichi Reisha. They needed one of them to be the head of all of them, to be the Rosh Hashiva. Which one? They were great Chachamim. Amri, so they decided among themselves, called the Omer Milsav, like Mifrich, anybody who can say something in Torah that cannot be slugged up, Lehevi Reisha, will be the Rosh, will be the new head. So each one said a piece in Torah. The Chulu Ifrich, all of them they were able to shlug up. The Abaya Lo Ifrich, what Abaya said, they weren't able to shlug up. Chazir, so therefore, so now, in other words, so it means that he's going to be the next Yeshiva. Chazir Rabba La Abaya De Govaresha. So now Rabba saw that Abaya's head is high, that he's very happy over the fact that he wasn't shlugged up. Omalei, so he tells him, Nachmeni, that was his name, Nachmeni, his nickname, Abaya is his nickname, Psach Ve'ema, open up, start saying your Drasha, yes, Minashamayim, you've been given this greatness. Rashi brings, there is an explanation in Rashi in parenthesis that on the contrary, say Nachmeni, as in like you're still a Talmud of Rav Nachman, but it's in parenthesis and a number of the Mephoshim say that doesn't belong. Be'er Sheva takes it out. That's not part of Rashi. It's not a valid explanation. The answer is that his actual name was Nachmeni. So he's telling him, yes, get up and start saying a Drasha. Yes, Minashamayim, you've been shown to be the new Rosh Hashiva. So the Gemara finishes off. Then what about that's between Abaya and Rava. So Abaya was the Rosh Hashiva. When Abaya passed away, Rava took over. What about Iboyalahu, Rab Zera, Rav Barab Masna, Heminayu Odif? What about between Rab Zera and Rav Barab Masna? Which one is the greater one? Rab Zera Chorif Maksha. Rab Zera was sharp and he could ask excellent questions and answer them. But Rav Barab Masna Mosunu Masik. Rav Barab Masna was more deliberate. He would go over the sugya more slowly and then come up with a proper maskana al pi halacha. My, so which one of them is greater? Now, it's not necessarily, this doesn't necessarily map directly onto Sinai v'oikor horim. Each of them has an oikor horim capacity, but we're saying, but within that itself, you have different ways of how they're arriving at it. So the Gemara ends off, Teiku, then we don't know the answer to that. Each one of them is great in his own, each one is great in his own field. And therefore, each one has their advantage when it comes to learning and teaching Torah. Hadron Allah Chayin Mashiach, Slikala Masech Tahorius, and not just Masech Tahorius, we've now finished the entire Seder Nezikin, Baruch Hashem. Mazel Tov.